Before we get into our gospel reading today, Jesus is crossing over the Sea of Galilee, and he's getting back to his home side of the sea. If you were here last week, you got to hear about the trip over. That was pretty stormy. But we didn't get to hear where he was going and what he was doing. So he was actually going to a place that was considered by the religious people of his time unclean. So if you went to this place that was considered unclean, you weren't really supposed to be there. And that uncleanness kind of passed on to you like contagion. And so you would become unclean. So Jesus has been to this place. He's healed someone. And now he's back in the boat, headed back over. He should do some ritual cleansing to become ritually clean. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But he ends up on his home shore, and this whole crowd of people gather around him. And as we read in our gospel reading today, he's going to cross over some more barriers that we as people set up. So I invite you to stand as we read our gospel from Mark chapter 5. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And as we read the rest of the gospel, I want you to hang on to that urgency that Jairus has. His daughter needs to be healed now. So Jesus goes, but here's what happens. And a large crowd followed Jesus and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Well, immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So as we just read, Jesus raises a girl from death to life. But at first it seems like it's too late. When Jairus hears the news that his daughter has died, that there's no point in Jesus coming, he may silently start to wonder the same thing some of us may have wondered. Like, why didn't you do more, Jesus? Why didn't you do more sooner? Could you not have prevented this sad thing from happening? Jesus also heals a woman who's been suffering for 12 years. Healing comes, but it sure takes a long time to get there. I don't know about you, but I have this longing for healing to come wherever there is illness. This longing for death to not be real, especially when it happens to someone who's far too young. With modern medicine, God's able to work through that now today to often bring healing to people, healing in places where decades ago maybe you wouldn't experience it. So we're grateful for that. But at times we may still wonder, why didn't you do more, Jesus? Why didn't you act sooner, God? These are real questions with which we wrestle. When Jesus walked this earth, he gave us a sign of what God wants. We especially see that in our gospel today. What Jesus initiates, what God wants is life and wholeness and saving grace for us. Jesus starts that, but it's not yet come to completion. We live in this in-between time where we're promised that Jesus has power over death, and yet death is very real for us as long as we walk this earth. Until that day when Jesus comes to walk this earth with us again and bring about God's new creation and wholeness and make all things well. If we go back to our gospel reading, we have this girl who's brought to life and a woman who's healed. But when these two stories get linked together, they also reveal something more than life and healing. They're also about who Jesus heals, about who Jesus is for. So as we saw, the gospel reading starts with this whole crowd gathered around Jesus, and then pushing through the crowd comes this religious leader, Jairus. Now at this point in the gospel, that's pretty important, because most of the religious leaders now are plotting against Jesus. They aren't so happy with what Jesus does, but Jairus is desperate. So in front of the whole crowd of people, this synagogue leader gets down on his knees and begs Jesus to heal his daughter who's dying. Jesus agrees to go, they go, but along the way they get stalled. As we read, they're held up by this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. She's suffered some kind of chronic illness. She's seen all kinds of doctors, paid tons of money, and keeps getting worse. And that may sound all too familiar to some of you. Those of you who've been through your own kind of chronic illness or who have had a loved one go through the same thing. You go through all kinds of testings to try to get answers. You see new doctors and specialists and still get no diagnosis or no healing. Some of you know that kind of anguish in a very deep way. That's where this woman is. But for her, there's this additional challenge that in her time and culture, due to the religious laws, because of the systems people put in place, not only has she been sick, but she's been forced to be isolated for 12 years. Because of her bleeding condition, rules were set up that forbid her from being in that crowd. She should not be there. She's been considered an untouchable, someone who is seen as religiously unclean. And so for 12 years, she's not been allowed to be with other people. There's these rules and regulations that have been put in place that denied her even the smallest human touch. She's forbidden from being in the synagogue, the place of worship, and from being in the center of her community. And now Jesus stops for her. He halts this urgent trip to the synagogue leader's home so he can heal this woman who was not good enough to be in the synagogue. She touches Jesus' cloak. He feels the power go out, and he calls her out. She has to come forward and is compelled to share the whole truth of who she is, of what she's experienced while this community turned a blind eye. And I wonder, what do you think she shared that day? What was the whole truth that she shared in front of that community that they had to listen to, or that Jairus, the synagogue leader, had to hear? We don't know for sure, but I would guess she shared her anguish not only at being ill, but at not being allowed to have human friendship, as being seen as someone who's a disease her very self. And Jairus, in his urgency to have his daughter healed, he has to wait. As a synagogue leader, he would have been the one who would have enforced the rules that kept this woman out, that kept her isolated. And so as he fears for his own daughter, he has to hear Jesus call this outcast woman, Jesus calls her daughter, affirms her faith, and sends her off in peace. And though Jairus gets this heart-wrenching news that his daughter has died, Jesus will work beyond that death to create life for her. Debbie Thomas writes about this, and she writes, "I hope that when Jairus embraces his resurrected daughter, he also embraces a new vision of who God is and what God values. In the bleeding woman's story, Jesus demands that legalism give way to love every single time. In each story, Jesus embraces what's considered not good, the bleeding woman, the dead body. He embraces what's considered not good in order to extend mercy, because that's who Jesus is." As soon as we Christians create lines between who's in and who's out, between us and them, with us being the welcomed ones, us being the less sinful ones, us being the right ones, as soon as we create lines between us and them, Jesus crosses over to the other side to stand alongside and extend mercy with the them, with the one seen as more wrong, as less welcomed. If you read the Gospels, you can watch this happen all through the Gospels again and again and again. And I wonder, when will we as Christians get it? That Jesus cares more about extending compassion and mercy than all the religious rules we can create, because those religious rules can never transform life. Only mercy and grace and compassion can do that. In the Gospel reading today, the rules and the regulations the religious community comes up with, they keep a woman who's been sick, they keep her in isolation for 12 years. It was only grace and mercy and compassion that could restore her to community. The community's fear has kept her separate from them. Fear keeps us separate from each other. But Jesus calls us not to live in fear, but in love. Several years ago, I was stopped in traffic, and there was a bumper sticker on the car in front of me. And it read like this. It said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." I've since learned that that was attributed to Mahatma Gandhi. Clearly, the person in the car in front of me also believed it. A problem that we have today is so many people have been kind of turned off by some Christians, or the church is so alien to their experience that they never even have the opportunity to experience Christ, to get to know Jesus and his way of compassion and mercy for them, for us, for this world. In our Gospel reading today, there was a whole lot of urgency there. Jairus has this urgency for his daughter to be healed. The woman has this urgency for herself to be healed. But there's also an urgency in our world today, an urgency that we follow Jesus more fully right now, that we experience and extend the compassion of Christ right now, because this world needs the life-giving way of Jesus right now. So how are we each listening for Jesus, listening for him today and every day? What are some ways that we are intentionally following Jesus today and every day throughout the week? Where's just one way we each might grow in our listening and our following for ourselves and for the sake of the people around us? With all that's happening in our world, maybe we need to talk less about what we hate and fear and talk more, focus more on this one we love, on Jesus, and seek to live more fully as he calls us, with his mercy and his compassion today and every day.